I'm willing to admit that things got a little out of control on our last episode of the Alliance Guys live stream. Again, we live stream every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And I don't have any reasons for our plummet into obscurity. As the show was going, we were talking about a lot of things. The show was supposed to be focused on Sion, Robert Anthony's announcement that he would no longer be portraying Sion, that Sion was essentially dead. And we were bidding adieu to the character and wanted to talk about other wrestlers with, you know, maybe similarly bad gimmicks or gimmicks that they didn't enjoy doing and how that tied into the NWA with several different gimmicks. But we really didn't get there because we kind of went off the rails. And I'm partially to blame for that. Here, why don't you take a listen and tell me for yourself what you thought of this episode of the Alliance Guys podcast.
You believe that there are some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Vlog podcast. Shame on you!
Shame on you! My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champions.
And I'm Kitty Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champions.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Vlog. What is it called?
Podcast. Period.
Or you're ugly. Period. Free and power approved.
So long, Sion. And there's a specific reason why we're saying so long to Sion, because, well, bye, Sion. He's gone.
I said apparently he's gone, but do we know if Sion is gone as well?
I know who he is. He's the evil twin of Sion.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm wondering if they're smart and dropping the storyline altogether, or if they're going to keep the other masked idiot around.
It's out there. If people want to know, we could spoil it. But I don't like doing spoilers. I don't like ruining it for some people, because some people enjoy the mystery of it, right? Like, we never mentioned that Robert Anthony was with Sion, and in fact, this is the first time I've said it publicly, right? But I didn't say it before he did. He outed himself on his own podcast, which I know the other guys were talking about that yesterday, and it was pretty interesting. Where I was going with that? You should check it out. I think it's called Potting with Ego or something like that. It's the podcast for Robert Anthony. He has Joe Alonzo on there, his protege Joe Alonzo, and it's a very interesting take on pro wrestling. He kind of gives you some insight. Obviously, he has his own ideals, his own beliefs, and he'll share those with you without hesitation. What I liked about kind of coming clean is he was diving into what made him hate this gimmick. And it's interesting, and this is kind of what DK and I wanted to talk about was, you know, the NWA is in this weird, precarious position because it kind of has – there's a benefit for using talent with names, right? If you put a poster up and it has Chris Adonis on that poster, just from name and name recognition and the eyeball test, I know who that guy is. He wrestled in the WWE. Or, you know, even conversely, like EC3, he's a guy that's been to the top. He's on television. A guy like Tyrus, even though none of us like him, his face is unmistakable. You know exactly who that dude is. You know where he was. And you don't have to saddle that person with a mask or anything like that. But a guy like Robert Anthony, who, I mean, has an established career on the indies. Like, don't get me wrong. He's got legitimate name value on the indies. I remember the name Ego Fantastico for quite some time before seeing Robert Anthony in the NWA. And, you know, Ego Fantastico had a pretty stellar independent wrestling career. It's not over, obviously.
And but
what's that?
and a small following.
Yeah.
And I don't mean small in an insulting way. I mean, for an independent guy, you know, he had a following, as, you know, his masked persona.
I think there's a problem though, right? Because if you have a talent who says, hey, this is literally killing me to do this, like I have no desire to continue with this career. And that's the thing. Go listen to the interview. I'm not trying to put words in Robert Anthony's mouth. I mean, he's literally saying that his mental health was suffering from this. And think about it too. Like they sunk that character long before he told them he didn't want to be that character. When we look at Scion, when he first came to the NWA, when he first made his power debut, DK, tell us what you were saying off the air about Scion.
Well, he came in, and this is something that you brought up before. He kind of came in as an anti-question mark, whereas question mark was goofy and a little silly, and you know, the only thing he ever said was karate or whatever. I mean, and they kind of did the same thing then when they started having Josephus wrestle and question mark, and even though everybody knew they were the same, I mean, come on, people. I could see. Oh, and to respond to whoever said that, I guess it was Media Empire. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't know that was Robert Anthony because a lot of people don't know who the hell Robert Anthony is.
the thing to consider is Robert Anthony did have a small following on the internet. Yeah, I mean, the independent scene, especially in Chicago, the Midwest area, Robert Ego Anthony, yes, absolutely, but on a national level, not really. And like a few dark matches in AEW does not make a career, you know?
Right. And, you know, just to the average fan who only watches whatever it is they watch, you would just have to luck into it. But, you know, the character was weird from the beginning. He came in masked and they were basically calling him the Mystery Man or something like that. And it was like, you know, why are you here, Mystery Man? I was brought in by William Proctor Hargan. So I could do what William Patrick Hargan needed to be on. Well, that was more Winston Churchill than Simon.
Anyway. I kind of felt like it was a little bit like, I can't think of his name right now, the old news anchor. Whatever. We'll go.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, so
Walter Cronkite.
Okay, that works, Walter Cronkite. So for a little while, or Nixon, yeah, could have been Nixon, but I think it was.
That worked too.
He kind of came in. I'm here for William Patrick Corgan, and only William Patrick Corgan knows why I am here, because that's why I'm here is because of William Patrick Corgan. And so, okay, yeah, that meant a lot to us. So
and I don't answer to floozy reporters.
Yeah,
so I don't even call me a floozy, but he should have.
He was dull. He was boring, and absolutely nothing they were doing was going to get him over. So he starts out as a face, and we never found out why William Patrick Corgan brought him in. William Patrick Corgan never acknowledged him in any way, shape, or form. So he came in as a face in the first set of tapings. So then the second set of tapings, he was a heel. We don't know why he was a heel, but he was a heel. And he had a new name, Scion. We don't know why that was his name, but he had a name. So he went from Mystery Man to Scion. And now he was no longer there for William Patrick Corbin. And then he was there because of his dad. Because his dad was a former world champion. I didn't say what type of world champion. Just a former world champion.
Well, they even tried to play it off. He's a former NWA champion, but they never said what division, what weight class, what, you know, nothing.
could have been tag team, could have been TV. I mean, who knows what it is. And so, and then the next, so, you know, they gave him that national title run, which started out strong with him defending on the Indies. And then, of course, fizzled out by the time he lost it. He's like the longest reigning national champion they had. And, but.
Sorry, I got to point this out real quick. Mike says, because Willie mentioned Robert Anthony was trained by former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Harley Race. Then Mike, our pal Mike, demonetized Mike, says he was dull, he was boring. Yup, trained by Harley. Ouch.
I don't think that's 100% fair, because Harley was far from dull or boring. But the gimmick he had prior was not dull or boring, because I've looked it up.
Ego Fantastico.
Yeah, I mean, that was a character. So don't say it was Harley Race that he was dull and boring. He was dull and boring because that's the way he was being booked in the NWA. The NWA has this thing where even if you have a following on the indie scene, if you come in, they kind of like to repackage you. He's very Vince McMahon in that way.
Without trying to sound like a dick here, but I'm going to sound like a dick. We've all said that this is WPC playing with his toys. And, you know, some of the toys weren't as attractive to him. So he put a mask on them, or he had them dance and do something silly, or have a zipper on their mouth. Whatever it is, he's done something to the toys to make it more fitting to what he wants to produce. But I guess the part where the problem comes in is, do we blame Billy for putting a guy like Robert Anthony under the mask, or do we blame Robert Anthony for taking an assignment that he was never going to be, you know, committed to?
Yes. I mean, you start with Billy Corgan, who booked the thing, because he saw something that was.
Yeah.
And I'll give Robert Anthony the leeway that he may not have understood where it was going with Billy Corgan, because I doubt Billy Corgan knew where it was going with Billy Corgan. And the fact that he had two or three starts and stops tells me Billy Corgan didn't have a plan for him. And, you know, again, no offense to Dave Marquez, if Billy shows up with a plan, I tend to think it's one he wrote or pulled out of his ass just before he shows up, because nothing comes across as being planned. And if he's still on his big 20-year plan, because 5 or 6 years in, he was supposed to be on TV, and we're going to count YouTube as being TV, or he was supposed to have a show, maybe it wasn't TV. Okay, sure. He had that 2 years in. And we haven't gone much from there. Jaden's popped up, so let's ask Jaden. Jaden, whose fault is it? The guy that's booking them like crap, or the guy that agreed to do this crap?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Hayden Christensen was given the role of Anakin Skywalker. We find out much later that Hayden Christensen's actually a good actor, but what he was given and the direction he was given came off very wooden and not very good, and very kind of whiny and annoying as Anakin Skywalker, talking about sand and his delivery and his god-awful pickup lines and all the creepy stuff he was doing.
And he not just the men had absolutely no chemistry whatsoever.
And not just the men, but the women and the children.
Yeah, so we later find out that he's actually a good actor. But just nobody knew about that because of the stuff. Just like Natalie Portman. She ended up winning an Oscar. Nobody thought she was a good actress after the Star Wars movies.
No, wow, she was a good actress. We found out Keira Knightley was her double. We're like, well, they should make Keira Knightley. Her and Keira Knightley should have switched places.
No, they actually, she couldn't get jobs after that because they thought the professional was a fluke. Because that was her big role before Star Wars.
She ended up
Yeah, it was a really good movie. You should check it out. I haven't seen it yet.
She was I was a big Natalie Portman fan, so I feel like there was a lot of movies she did like or was good in. Like there was that movie where she gave birth to a baby in a Walmart. I don't remember what the movie was called, but
I don't remember the movie, so I have to say, but I remember she couldn't get work in Hollywood for a while because of what Star Wars did. But yeah, she actually is an excellent, and that's what I'm thinking. Doesn't matter if you don't understand, if you don't have the direction, you can be the greatest actor in the entire world. If you don't have the right direction, you can't take that with ever. And if you don't have the power to take it, you want to take it, like Dusty Rhodes kind of did with the polka dots, then you know you can be the greatest wrestler in the world with the greatest personality. But if you can't showcase it, then I have to say it's definitely the person who is giving you the gimmicks, the director's fault. Went a long way to Billy Corgan's fault.
The movie I was thinking of was called Where the Heart Is, but that actually was released in 2000. So your point still remains, Jaden.
Yeah, she did a lot of great stuff. And Thor in Love and Thunder.
Yes. we're trying not to remember that one, okay?
I said it before. I don't think it was as bad as everybody else was hating on it. I gave it a long time before I saw it, and it wasn't as bad. It wasn't, I wouldn't call it good, but I definitely don't think it was as hate-worthy as it got.
Well, you know, that may have been the way it was with me when I watched Flash, even though I saw it pretty, you know, quick after it was released. I had absolutely no expectations for it, so then when I finally ended up watching it, it's like, well, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Natalie Portman was in Mars Attacks, so I'll take your apology whenever you want to give it.
That was a great movie, I have to say. But I don't remember Natalie Portman in it. Now that you say that, now that I think about it, you're right. But she didn't stand
the first daughter.
Yeah. Have you seen The Professional, though?
You know, I've seen parts of The Professional. I never saw it all the way through.
It's a very excellent movie. I have to give it credit. It was very, very, very good.
But yeah, so getting back to in the NWA currently, there are several wrestlers under masks. Do you think that putting a wrestler under a mask is a good idea, Jaden? I mean, you've worked on the creative side of wrestling. Is that a good idea? Or is it trying to shoehorn somebody into a gimmick?
First of all, I wish somebody would put a mask on Dave Dahl.
I know a guy that knows a guy.
So do all the fans.
Yeah. But seriously, I've seen people giving mask gimmicks and turn it into something. I still think 5-star Matt Classic was better than Colt Cabana. You know, I liked that Matt Classic gimmick. I thought that was great, and a lot of people did too.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the person, it has to, first of all, they have to understand the assignment, and the person given the assignment has to understand the assignment, and they have to commit, and they have to have talent. There's four things need to be to get a mask gimmick over. I absolutely loved when Canyon was Mortis. I thought that was amazing for some reason. I just loved everything about that. It was done. It was Canyon probably that got it to be so good. It was great. There are, again, people can be with talent and personality, and if they understand the assignment. I was waiting for DK to pop. I could tell he's reading it, so I was waiting to see his reaction.
I didn't say a word. I just let him go.
Yeah. I can tell he's reading his lips were moving. Morris was awesome. It was such a great gimmick. I don't know why I didn't get over more.
Okay, so here's where your boy Jay was totally wrong about things, because that whole Blood Runs Cold thing, I was like, this is going to be great, man. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be what takes WCW to the next level. It's like, not really. And then we get the NWO, I think, that a year after, or maybe even 6 months after, and it's like, Blood Run what?
That's another person who I don't think had any idea where they were going with it. Had an idea, then had no idea how to get from point A to point B.
I'll say this, though. My blood runs cold. Hey!
Okay.
No. That's kind of like...
I like Brad, too.
What was the name of that guy? This is probably before any of your times. But Crocodile Dundee. Remember Crocodile Dundee?
Bill Hogan?
Yeah. So after the success of the movie, of course, WWE had to have a gimmick.
Outback Jack. The greatest horrible wrestler of all time.
I mean,
Tommy Kangaroo Down. Tommy Kangaroo Down. Correcting me, it's Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan. They brought in Outback Jack or whatever with every video package. Why can't I remember the word?
Vignette, yes.
Of him, you know, basically doing all the same things that Paul Hogan was doing in the movie and everything.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yeah, and so they bring him in, and, you know, of course, at first, you know, they're putting him over and everything like that. And, you know, the fans are sitting on their hands going and buying popcorn because the guy sucked. Sorry, I don't know who it was, but he sucked.
Not bad, Jack. What are you talking about?
Well, I didn't know if he was somebody else before on the indie scene or what. He didn't look like it, or not in the indie scene in territory days or whatever. But, it was bad. And so, like, 4 months after he worked as a jobber, and about 2 months after that, he was gone.
Well, he was trained by Les Thornton, but we don't let Les Thornton admit that.
Yes.
Those flights from Australia got expensive, and McMahon was just like, we can't keep doing this.
Probably. They're not bringing him in from Australia to lose.
Well, I think that's why they got rid of Corporal Kirshner, too, because every time you got to get him off the base, you know, you got to get a permission from the drill instructor. I mean, come on, it gets expensive to do these things. Duke the Dumpster Drosy, you know how many cans he missed wrestling for the WWE?
Didn't Corporal Kirshner go on to do something else, though?
Super leather.
What?
Super leather, yeah. Death match.
Super leather.
Oh.
A leather face gimmick.
Yeah, the Chainsaw Charlie before Chainsaw Charlie.
He actually left the WWF and went to Stampede, and then, if I remember, Portland, it was a heel.
Was Chainsaw Charlie not the dumbest thing ever?
It was
Terry Funk.
And everybody knew it was Terry Funk. Everybody knew it was Terry Funk so much that they took the mask off him like the next day.
Yeah, well, what's funny about that is they, what's his name? The guy with the Bucky Beaver teeth.
Kevin Dunn,
yeah. He's like, nobody knows who Terry Funk is. And because Jim Cornette said, why are you going to have Terry Funk, one of the biggest wrestlers in the world, wear a mask and come out with a chainsaw and act like he's somebody new? Like, nobody would know who Terry Funk is. And immediately he came out, everybody started saying Terry Funk.
And despite the fact that Terry Funk had wrestled in WWE for, you know, a while and took off because his horse got sick.
Yeah.
So like, the thing about it, too, is, like, it wasn't even a mask, right? It was pantyhose. And what's really offensive about that is, you know, Saba Simba, before they gave him that gimmick, he was asking for them to put the pantyhose on his face.
Oh, my God.
You know that's funny. You know it's funny.
All right. That ends the show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. Jay's obviously a tad bit under the weather, mentally at least. And
you know that's funny. That's funny.
Did Jimmy Valiant invite him?
Yeah, what's imagine being over? Imagine having a party with Jimmy Valiant and Tony Atlas.
Try not to.
Well, I think that's what makes Ricky Morton cry.
Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at The Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at The Alliance Blog. Until then, we are The Alliance.